morning. May it please the court, Deputy Public Defender Okechukwu Amadi, on behalf of petitioner appellant Michael Spillner. With the court's permission, I would like to reserve 10 minutes for rebuttal. The Intermediate Court of Appeals gravely erred in upholding the trial court's ruling that Officer Takamiya had reasonable suspicion to stop Mr. Spillner's vehicle, where the traffic stop was based solely on Officer Takamiya's knowledge that he previously cited Mr. Spillner for driving without license and no motor vehicle insurance. On February 15, 2005, Officer Arthur Takamiya effected a traffic stop on Mr. Spillner and cited him for illegal tint, driving without a valid driver's license, and no motor vehicle insurance.
Mr. Amadi, can you imagine circumstances under which a police officer would have reasonable suspicion that the operator of a motor vehicle is driving without a license?
No, Your Honor. I just based on the fact that the individual is driving without a valid driver's license, if all the officer has is this knowledge from a previous experience, I can't imagine that.
So in your view, the only circumstances under which an individual can be legitimately cited for driving without a license would be incidental to a stop or seizure for some other purpose.
That's correct. On March 1st, 2005, 2 weeks after Officer Takamiya first sighted Mr. Spillner, Officer Takamiya observed Mr. Spillner making a right-hand turn. Officer Takamiya testified that he recognized Mr. Spillner's vehicle first and then recognized Mr. Spillner himself. In fact, he testified that he recognized Mr. Spillner because the illegal tint that was previously on his vehicle 2 weeks prior had been removed, allowing Officer Takamiya to see Mr. Spillner's face clearly. After Mr. Spillner made his turn...
Excuse me, Mr. Marty, was that the reason for the first stop, the illegal tint?
It was illegal tint, Your Honor, driving without a valid driver's license and no motor vehicle insurance.
But the first stop...
Stop. What's for the...
The basis for that was the illegal tint of the windows? Or
yes, Your Honor. Then after Mr. Spillner made his turn, Officer Takamiya followed Mr. Spillner and eventually stopped Mr. Spillner's vehicle. Officer Takamiya asked Mr. Spillner for his driver's license and insurance. Unable to produce these items, Officer Takamiya then cited Mr. Spillner for driving without a valid driver's license and with no motor vehicle insurance. Officer Takamiya testified that on the date of the incident, the second stop, knowing that Mr. Spillner did not have a driver's license, asked him anyway whether or not he had a driver's license. On the date of the second incident, Mr. Spillner did not commit any traffic violations or any offenses that led to the specific stop. As I stated, in fact, the illegal tint that was previously on his vehicle had been removed. Officer Takamiya only effected a traffic stop based on the assumption that Mr. Spillner had no driver's license and was not insured. Again, as Officer Takamiya testified, he stopped Mr. Spillner for driving without a valid license, quote, knowing that he did not have one. Officer Takamiya's assumption was based only on his prior encounter with Mr. Spillner.
Let me ask you a hypothetical in that connection, Mr. Amadi. Suppose the first stop had occurred at 6 in the evening. Officer discovered that the driver was unlicensed, cited him for that. At 7 a.m. the next morning, the officer sees the same vehicle, same driver, knows that at 6 in the evening the night before, that operator was unlicensed. Would the officer have reasonable suspicion to make a stop under those circumstances?
No, Your Honor. Just because the individual is cited for driving without a valid license, that just means that in that instance, he might not have had his valid driver's license on him. The officer still would have to cite him for driving without a valid license. The individual could have left his driver's license at home.
He may not have had proof beyond a reasonable doubt at 7 in the morning, but would he at least have reasonable suspicion?
I don't believe so, Your Honor. I would say no. Again, just the citation in and of itself is not enough. Officer Takamiya only affected a traffic stop on Mr. Spillner based on the assumption that Mr. Spillner did not have a driver's license. Officer Takamiya did not have any firsthand knowledge whether or not Mr. Spillner had obtained a driver's license during the two-week period between February 15th and March 1st, 2005.
Okay, picking on Justice Stevenson's hypothetical, 6 p.m. you stop doing a citation, 2 hours later, you seen driving again. Reasonable suspicion.
I would still say no, based on the fact that this court has already stated in Kalaohana that it affords greater protection to its citizens under the state constitution than the federal constitution. The standard is that it would not be reasonable suspicion based on knowledge in and of itself. In fact, that in State v. Kalaohana, this court said knowledge of an individual's prior arrest, prior criminal history, standing alone is insufficient for reasonable suspicion.
Even though there may be evidence that the licensing bureau was not open at that time of the evening, from 6 to 8,
Again, Your Honor, the citation in and of itself, I would go back to the fact that even though the bureau may not be open.
Let's add to the hypothetical one more fact, Mr. Ramadi.
Yes, sir.
Let's suppose that in the course of the 6 p.m. stop, the first one, and the citation for driving without a license, the defendant affirmatively represented to the officer, "Officer, I don't have a license. I am an unlicensed driver." And then he stopped 2 hours later. Prior knowledge sufficient to generate reasonable suspicion?
No, as the court ruled in Kalaohana, prior knowledge standing alone is insufficient for reasonable suspicion, and this is what the court stated in Kalaohana.
Mr. Amadi, you said driving without a license doesn't necessarily mean you aren't licensed. Is that
yes,
correct?
Sir.
And in this case, is there any evidence that the defendant was not licensed and that was a reason for issuing the ticket?
That information was not presented at trial, so I would say there was no evidence presented at trial with respect to that, Your Honor.
So what the record indicates is that he didn't possess a license at the time he was stopped by the officer?
Yes, Your Honor. The standard for reasonable suspicion is defined by this court, stated in State v. Bolasan, quote, "To justify an investigative stop, short of arrest, based on probable cause, the police officer must be able to point to specific and articulable facts, which, taken together with rational inferences from those facts, reasonably warrant that intrusion. The ultimate test in these situations must be whether, from these facts, measured by an objective standard, a person of reasonable caution would be warranted in believing that criminal activity was afoot and the action taken was appropriate." In other words, reasonable suspicion requires less than probable cause, but reasonable suspicion also requires more than a mere hunch. Officer Takamiya, it's safe to say, acted on nothing more than a mere hunch that Mr. Spillner possibly might still be driving without a valid license on March 1st, 2005.
Anything he testified to, excuse me, that indicated he was acting on a hunch? Anything
would you repeat that
the officer
again?
Said at trial that indicated that the officer was acting only on a hunch?
He testified in trial that he assumed, and it was an assumption, that Mr. Spillner was still driving without a valid license when he cited him on March 1st, 2005. And that was the officer's specific words in trial as he testified.
Was the vehicle stopped before the second stop for the girlfriend was driving?
Yes, Your Honor. A week after the first stop, the officer stopped Mr. Spillner's girlfriend and issued her a citation for having no motor vehicle insurance. So there was a stop in between the two stops with Mr. Spillner, but the second stop a week after February 15th involved Mr. Spillner's girlfriend.
Well, given the hypothetical that Justice Levinson gave you, what about driving a vehicle without insurance? Would that be a different situation?
No, actually, Your Honor, it wouldn't be a different situation. It's on the same lines of driving without a valid license because there's corrective measures that could be taken in order to obtain a motor vehicle insurance. Again, the individual could have left their insurance outside of their vehicle. So it's on par, if you will, with driving without a valid driver's license.
Mr. Amati, in 2005, was there a separate offense, driving without license on person?
Could you rephrase your question, ma'am?
This offense occurred in 2005, is that correct?
Yes, ma'am.
In 2005, was there a separate offense, driving without a license on person, as opposed to just driving without a valid driver's license?
Oh, no, Your Honor. That information was not elicited at trial. So based on the transcript, it was just...
Based on your knowledge of the Hawaii revised statutes, was there such an offense in 2005?
I'm not aware of if there was such an offense, Your Honor. And again, Officer Takamiya acted on a mere hunch because there was a two-week span in between February 15th and March 1st, in between the two citations. And again, it's possible that Mr. Spillner could have taken steps to correct the fact that he did not have a valid driver's license or no insurance. And again, as I've reiterated in State v. Kaleohana, the facts of the case was that the court found reasonable suspicion for the stop of the vehicle in question. In Kaleohana, the officer observed Kaleohana swerving and crossing a solid line. So that gave him reasonable suspicion to affect the traffic stop. And during the course of that traffic stop, based on the condition of Kaleohana, the glassy eyes, the red eyes, in conjunction with the swerving of the vehicle, along with the prior history of Kaleohana, the fact that Kaleohana had been involved with drugs in the past, and drugs were previously found in Kaleohana's vehicle, all that together led the officer to suspect the Kaleohana of driving while impaired. And again, the court ruled that if it were just based on the police officer's knowledge alone then of the past history of Kaleohana, then that would be insufficient for reasonable suspicion. But since there was a traffic violation, that was enough to effect a traffic stop. And then based on the accumulation of all the facts presented in the case, that was enough to suspect Kaleohana of driving while impaired. And so the distinction between Kaleohana and and Officer Takamiya is that in Kaleohana, there was a reason for a traffic stop. There was a traffic offense committed in Kaleohana. In this case, Officer Takamiya, with regards to Mr. Spillner, there was no traffic infraction, no traffic violation. In fact, Officer Takamiya testified that when he observed Mr. Spillner make a right-hand turn, that the right-hand turn was legal. So there was nothing to, no traffic offense by which Officer Takamiya could have stopped Mr. Spillner. As a matter of fact, it would be more reasonable to infer that Mr. Spillner actually was complying with the laws in between the first and second citation, given the fact that the legal tint that was on his vehicle 2 weeks ago had been removed on March 1st, 2005, when Officer Takamiya observed Mr. Spillner. Mr. Spillner had taken steps to correct the defects that he was cited for the first time. So it would lead one to infer reasonably that it would be more likely than not that he did have a valid driver's license, since he was taking steps to correct the defects that for which he was cited on February 15, 2005. Now, Article 1, Section 7 of the Hawaii Constitution provides that the right of the people to be secure in their persons, houses, papers, and effects against unreasonable searches, seizures, and invasion of privacy shall not be violated. Again, in Kaleohana, this court stated, the Hawaii Constitution provides citizens greater protection against unreasonable searches and seizures than the Fourth Amendment. In Kalaohana, this court, cited from State v. Chong, stated that a person's prior criminal record standing alone was insufficient to establish probable cause for an arrest and at best was entitled to only minimal weight when combined with other elements. To hold differently would undermine the constitutional protections to all citizens. Kalaohana further stated, if the law were otherwise, any person with any sort of criminal record, or even worse, a person with arrest but no convictions, could be subjected to a Terry-type investigative stop by a law enforcement officer at any time without the need for any other justification at all.
Mr. Amati, would you agree that the act, the conduct of driving without a license, together with the requisite state of mind, is criminal activity?
Yes, Your Honor.
And it's your position that with respect to this particular criminal activity, no reasonable suspicion can ever exist that it's afoot?
No, Your Honor, I'm just saying that only basis for reasonable suspicion is a previous citation.
What other basis
arrest
could there be?
For example, if the officer with a laptop equipped in his vehicle sees the car, runs a computer check, determines, oh, this person does not have a valid license, then possibly that could be a grounds for reasonable suspicion. But just based on the fact of a previous citation.
But in answer to my question earlier involving the hypothetical in which during the first stop, the defendant admits that he is an unlicensed driver, and then 2 hours later, before he could possibly become a licensed driver, he's observed driving again. You told me that there was no reasonable suspicion to make a stop.
So in that hypothetical, if the driver admits that he is driving without a valid driver's license, then that brings into a whole set of other issues in terms of whether or not that statement should be suppressed, whether or not that was information that was volunteered under duress. So that brings into
assume it was clean. Driving without a license citations is issued. I mean, is it your understanding that the drivers are generally Mirandized before the citation is issued?
No, that's not my understanding, Your Honor.
Is it necessary to Mirandize them? Don't say anything, because if you do, you know, it may be used against you in court. You're entitled to a lawyer before you speak.
I would say if the statements that the driver said at the first stop is the basis by which the sole basis by which the police officer is stopping the second time, then yes, that does become an issue. So if the officer is saying, well, I'm making a stop based on what the driver told me when I stopped him 2 weeks prior that he did not have a driver's license, yes, I think that does become an issue with respect to the second stop. And whether it's an issue of needing to Mirandize or some other form of check or balance, I think.
The offense is driving while unlicensed, not driving while not in possession of a driver's license. How does a police officer determine that any given individual is an unlicensed driver?
Again, Your Honor, if there's a system in place where the officer can check to see whether or not there is a valid driver's license at the time of the offense, my understanding, Your Honor, is that if the person is cited for driving without a valid license, it also means because they also didn't possess that license at the time. So a curative effect could be showing up in court, showing your valid driver's license, and having the case dismissed. I don't think it's just the law isn't specifically being an unlicensed driver on the road.
Mr. Amadi, assume that that's not true. Assume that there's a separate offense under 286.116 for not having your license on person. And then go ahead and answer Justice's question. Assume it's there's a separate offense.
So if I may ask to reiterate the specific question, Your Honor.
Sorry for interrupting.
It's been too long. I'm having a senior moment. I'm unable to rearticulate my question. I'm sorry.
I think Justice Nakayama said, assume there's a statute that says there's an offense of driving without possessing a license. Then what would your answer to Justice Levinson be?
His problem is that he can't remember my question, and neither can I.
Your answer previously to Justice Levinson was that the only evidence in the record is that of the citation. And you said a citation is issued to a person if that person, or can be issued to a person, even if that person is licensed but doesn't possess a license. That's what you argue.
Yes.
So, and I asked you whether or not in the record there was any indication of whether or not the petitioner was in fact licensed to drive or not, and you said no.
No.
So that the only thing in the record is the citation for driving, well, whatever the statute is, and you indicated that citation is given when someone may be licensed but doesn't possess a license at the time of the stop. Is that
correct? Yes, Your Honor. And I see that my warning light is on. If there aren't any further questions.
I do have a question. On what do you base that? 286.102, time immemorial, driving without a valid driver's license, without a license to drive. 286.116, driving without license on person. On what do you rely on your statement that 286.102 is citations are issued when you don't have the license on the person?
It's based on my experience in district court, Your Honor. The fact that people are issued with driving without valid license under 286.102. They come into court, show their driver's license, and that case is dismissed.
So 286.116 is a surplusage?
In my experience, I have not seen it used, Your Honor.
The record is ambiguous as to what, in fact, was the determination of whether the defendant was licensed or unlicensed, or whether he was just driving without a license.
That's correct, Your Honor.
And your argument is that within that 2-week period, he could have had gotten some legal permission to drive.
Is that yes, right? Your Honor. Thank you.
Deputy Prosecutor Attorney Brian Vincent on behalf of the state. May it please the court. The purpose of a Terry-type stop is to allow a police officer who has objectively reasonable, particularized suspicion that criminal activity is afoot to investigate an ambiguous situation in order to confirm or dispel their suspicion. The law does not require a police officer to eliminate all possible innocent explanations for a suspect's behavior before conducting the brief investigatory stop. Such a rule would essentially require a police officer to have probable cause before conducting any kind of Terry-type stop. In this case, Officer Takamiya pulled defendant over on March 1st, 2005 because based on his own personal experience with this defendant and this vehicle, he suspected this particular defendant was driving without a license and this particular vehicle had no insurance. Let me address the no insurance charge first. With respect to the no insurance charge, even assuming that Officer Takamiya did not know that defendant was a registered owner of the vehicle, Officer Takamiya knew from personal experience that this particular vehicle had been driven on a public road at least twice in the previous 2 weeks with no insurance. And on at least the first of those occasions, Officer Takamiya knew that the defendant had been put on notice that the vehicle did not have insurance.
Excuse me, just to clarify something in the record. Was the petitioner the registered owner of this vehicle or not?
It turned out. I'm not sure if if the police officer knew that at the time, I'm not sure if the police officer, there's nothing in the record that indicates the police officer knew that at the time he pulled him over on March 1st. So I'm assuming the facts in the light most favorable to the defendant in this particular instance.
I'm sorry. The no insurance, is it no certificate of insurance could be produced or just no insurance? The police officer determined the vehicle did not have insurance.
Well, when a police officer issues a cite for no insurance, when they stop somebody for somebody else, something else, they ask for a driver's license and insurance, right? If the driver doesn't have a proof of insurance in the car, they usually write them up, because I don't think there's any other way of that the police officer has on the street to prove that a defendant does or does not have insurance. If he has insurance at home, then he has to show up in court and or show up at district at like 111 LK, and you can show your proof of insurance and I'll dismiss it.
Similar to driving without a license as described by counsel for the petition.
That's right. I mean, driving without a license is a little bit different. I guess the police do have the ability to check with dispatch on a person's driver's license status. Insurance charge, they don't have that.
There's no evidence of that in this case.
No evidence that the police officer attempted to check with dispatch on his driver's license status in this case. I'm just thinking there's only two other ways you could check whether this person had insurance in this car, and one way to go back, you could ask dispatch for this person's past history and whether he'd been cited previously for no insurance in this car. But that would leave us in the same situation as we are here, where the police officer knew from his own personal experience that this person had been cited without any insurance. The other way you could might give an indication whether the car had insurance is whether there's a current safety inspection certificate. When you get a current safety inspection certificate, you're supposed to have insurance at the time. But as we all know, some people get insurance, get their safety inspection certificate, and then they discontinue the insurance after they get their sticker, and then it's good for another 12 months. So I don't think there's any support for defendant's assertion that the only way you can enforce the driving without a license laws or the no insurance laws is to have stopped somebody for an incidental, for another traffic violation, observable traffic violation. Defendant doesn't present any authority from this state or any other state that an officer must wait until a suspect commits a observable crime, observable traffic violation before they execute a traffic stop. And this is a different case. I'll acknowledge this is a different case than the cases the hypotheticals you gave, where this person may have been stopped at 8 p.m., stopped again at 6 p.m. the next morning. We know he couldn't have obtained a license in that time. Here there's 10 business days. The state acknowledges that it's possible that the defendant could have obtained a driver's license and insurance in those 10 business days.
Excuse me, counsel, sort of going back to the time period. So are you saying then that when a police officer issues a citation for driving without a license, that could mean that either the person was not licensed to drive or was licensed to drive but didn't have a driver's license on his person?
Well, theoretically, if the person said, I have a driver's license at home, okay? Theoretically,
we don't have that here.
Well, yeah, but it's hypothetically assuming the driver said that, the officer probably should cite him just for not having a license on him, right?
But do officers usually do that?
But the officer may not believe,
right,
the driver.
So they issue the driving without.
Yeah, and their computer may be down. They may not be able to check with dispatch at that minute what his driver status is. So they may just issue the driving without a license thing, and then let him bring his proof of license to court at the court date, right? But this is a case of reasonable suspicion, not probable cause here. And I think that you can reasonably infer that if a person doesn't present his driver's license, at least for reasonable suspicion purposes, you can reasonably infer that if he doesn't have his driver's license, he may well not have a driver's license in this jurisdiction or any other jurisdiction.
Do the police officers don't use 186, 116 at all now?
I just tell you my personal experience, I haven't seen it used very often. They usually just issue the 286, 102, I guess, right? And then let the defendant present his driver's license at court and dismiss it there, if indeed he has his driver's license. So I'm sure if you can make any assumption from the fact that he didn't cite him for not having a driver's license on him under 116. I believe that a person, a man or woman of reasonable caution, would have been warranted in this case in believing that there was a strong possibility that this particular vehicle was uninsured and that the defendant was recklessly or knowingly driving the vehicle with no insurance, based on the fact that he'd already been put on notice that there was at least no proof of insurance in the vehicle. Cases from other jurisdictions involving similar factual situations hold that the more stale a police officer's information is that a suspect was unlicensed on a prior occasion, the less reasonable it is to suspect that to believe that a suspect is unlicensed on the present occasion. This principle articulated in cases from other jurisdictions in the particular factual context of this case is analogous to this court's staleness doctrine used when examining search warrants. And a good articulation of that one is State v. Austria, 55 Hawaii 565, a 1974 case. An informer had informed the police that he'd been attending gambling activities at a house every Friday, Saturday, and with Sunday nights for a number of weekends. The court assumed that it had been at least 3 weeks since the last of those occurrences, but they still found that the district court had probable, there was enough showing of probable cause to show that gambling activity would still be happening in this house on a continuing basis, even later. I think no insurance and no driver's license charges are a distinct type of offense in the sense that it requires some sort of positive affirmative action by a person to obtain insurance and a driver's license for their car. It's not like if you saw a person, say, driving under the influence, or say you cited a person for driving under the influence of alcohol 2 weeks before, and you made the assumption that 2 weeks later he was still under the influence of alcohol. And we all know that the influence of alcohol dissipates over time, whereas in this case, the fact of not being licensed or not having insurance does not automatically dissipate over time. It requires some sort of positive, affirmative action on behalf of the person who is unlicensed or who does not have insurance on a vehicle.
You would be able to obtain insurance and some permission to drive, though, within that 2 week period.
Yeah, I think just from my experience in district court, there's some hitches, there's problems, because in order to get insurance, you have to have a driver's license. In order to get a driver's license, you have to have a car to drive that is insured. For the sake of noting it, I would note that the requirements to obtain a driver's license are found in the Hawaii Administrative Rule Section 19-122-1 and on. And there's a number of requirements. It's not, there's potential pitfalls. You have to obtain an instruction permit first. You have to clear all your previous traffic violations. You have to take the driving test. You fail the driving test, you have to wait a week to take it again. You have to present a certain number of documentation, social security number, I think.
So the officer would have to make some assumptions about what might or might not have occurred in that
case. And I'm not sure what the officer would have known or would not have known in this particular situation as to how easy or difficult it was to get a driver's license. But I think it's reasonable to assume. I think there's kind of like a social sciences equivalent of the law of inertia. You know, people tend to, if they don't have a license, they're going to continue to tend to not have a license, all things being the same, down the line. And of course, that assumption gets more weak as time progresses, but I think it's there. And then I think this is, we're talking about 2 weeks here in case of the, in the case of the driver's license, and then 1 week in case of the driving without insurance.
We seem to be focusing on the driving without license a little more as being raising reasonable suspicion than no insurance. Is it a stronger case?
Well, I think that they're both
relying on no insurance because of the stop of the girlfriend driving a week before the second stop of the defendant petitioner.
I think they're slightly different. It's a different situation. I mean, in insurance, you have twice in 2 weeks. There's point A, point B. You can kind of assume that.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I mean, yeah. Is it a stronger case for the prosecution on the insurance aspect versus the no license for 2 week period because he could have gotten a license within the 2 week period?
Yeah, I would suggest it's probably a little bit stronger. The insurance, his suspicion with regard to insurance is a little bit stronger than his suspicion as regard to the driver's license.
Well, we don't have any evidence in the record one way or the other, right, as far as what kinds of efforts are needed and how easy or difficult it is to get insurance.
Nothing in the record, Your Honor.
In fact, if you own one car and you want to put another car on your insurance policy, all you need is a call.
Perhaps, yeah, yes, and as far as insurance, yeah, I mean, for example, I think another person probably could obtain insurance for the car. Maybe not the defendant. Maybe it's another person. Maybe a third person. Perhaps I'm not saying it's impossible. I'm just saying this is reasonable suspicion determination, and people, and of course we don't want officers to based on hunch. But on the other hand, certainly officers have their suspicions about things, and they can't separate. Sometimes it's hard to separate their kind of gut instincts from objective facts. But I think here there's enough objective facts combined with officers, say, hunch or suspicion, to provide reasonable suspicion in this case. Facts that a person of reasonable caution would believe warranted them stopping the defendant in this case and to dispel or confirm their suspicion that there was no insurance and no license.
I'm sorry, what was the stop for of the girlfriend? Was it a separate traffic violation?
I think the previous two stops, I think the
tinting?
Yeah, the outwardly observable violation was tinting, and then once they observed the tint, they asked for a driver's license and insurance. There's a good possibility the officer knew that the defendant owned this car, but again, assuming the facts in the light most favorable to the defendant, I think, you can't say for sure that the officer knew the defendant was the registered owner of this car. I have a little bit of time here. I would just discuss some of these cases here. I came up with, I went through and I found 27 different cases from 4 federal circuits and 12 states with arguably similar circumstances, and only 5 of those found no reasonable suspicion based on the facts of those particular cases. One of them was this case I cited in my answering brief, United States versus Loughran. In that case, there was a period of 22 weeks. Officer had knew that the defendants didn't have a license, I guess for a number of through in a personal experience, apparently, but he'd gone...
Suspension of license cases or no license, driving without a license?
Well, I tried to exclude all the ones where the record indicated that the officer knew that the defendant's license was suspended for a given period of time. I think that if an officer knows that, let's say in this case he stopped him on the first occasion and he knew his driver's license was suspended for a year, I think that probably the next time he saw him, he'd have probable cause to believe that he did not have a license in that case.
I mean, that's distinguishable from this case.
That's distinguishable from these cases that I'm citing where
without a license.
They just simply didn't have a license, or they were suspended, but the officer didn't know how long the suspension was for. So in this case, in Loughran, the Tenth Circuit noted that they found no reasonable suspicion. They found that 22 weeks was significantly longer than the Sixth Circuit had found to be reasonable in United States versus Sandridge, and the 10 days the Seventh Circuit had found reasonable in United States versus Hope. So implicitly, they're agreeing that yes, an officer can have reasonable suspicion based on a prior citation. They're just saying it's just too long, it's just too attenuated in this case.
So at some point, the prior knowledge becomes stale.
That's correct.
According to the 10th Circuit, 22 weeks is stale. According to the 6th Circuit, 22 days isn't.
Right. And then each case should be decided on the unique facts of that case. Sometimes, in many cases, it just boils down to length of time. The reality
is. What about Mr. Amati's argument that Kaleohano says, under the Hawaii Constitution, we afford people in Hawaii broader rights than in the federal constitution? And I assume those two cases are federal cases.
That's correct. We understand.
So what about that?
We understand that drivers have a greater degree of privacy in this state than in perhaps arguably some other states or under the federal constitution. But
stands the federal standard for reasonable suspicion different from the Hawaii standard?
Not that I'm aware of. I would argue that in this particular case, the rules that you apply for reasonable suspicion wouldn't markedly differ.
More than a hunch, less than probable cause.
Right, right. Yeah, there's wiggle room there, I guess. The other case
here. I'm sorry, Mr. Vincent. Did the officer here have anything more than a hunch as far as the record is concerned?
Well, he had the past.
I assume, according to other counsel, that he was still driving without a license.
And his assumption that he was still driving without a license is an assumption. I think we'd all agree that some assumptions are reasonable, some are not reasonable.
This wasn't 2 hours or.
Not 2 hours.
15 hours.
Yeah. It's unique in this case. These citations are unique in the sense is that one of the elements of the crimes is driving. It's just the fact of driving itself. And in this case, the officer saw them driving. I guess you would say that he did have firsthand knowledge of that at least he was filled for one of the elements of the offenses in question. There's another case that I wasn't cited in my brief was Moody versus State. This is 842 Southern Reporter Second Series, 754 Florida Supreme Court case. There the officer testified that it may have been as long as 3 years since the officer last checked the defendant's driving status. Florida Supreme Court recognized that the totality of the circumstances may have at an early point in time justified the investigatory stop. However, under the staleness doctrine, justification for investigatory stop may dissipate with time. Again, in this case, they found the officer information was too stale. Another case is the Mississippi Court of Appeals case, Boyd versus State, 2000 case found that the defendant's license had been suspended 8 years earlier was insufficient to establish reasonable suspicion. State v. Taskett, 24 Northeast, Second Report of 536. There they found 1.5 months earlier was too stale. Commonwealth versus Stevenson, 832 Atlantic, Second Recorder, 1123, Pennsylvania Superior Court decision. 3 years was the time period in that case. Significantly, none of those cases categorically prohibit a traffic stop based on knowledge that a defendant has been unlicensed in the past. So even in those cases, there's no categorical assertion that, you know, insurance and traffic and driving without a license violations can only be discovered incidentally through observable traffic violations. The remaining cases that I refer to, the 27, one found that as much as 11 months was not too long. A little bit unique case. This is a state.
I assume you wouldn't want to rise or fall on that one.
No, sir. Again, that was a slightly different situation. There, the officer knew that the defendant had been unlicensed for 9 to 12 years, and his personal knowledge that he was unlicensed was, well, the defendant had told him 11 months ago that he still didn't have his license. In that case, the court determined that that if he hadn't gotten his license in 9 to 12 years, that he wasn't likely to have gotten it in the last 11 months. Here we don't have those kind of facts. It's a little bit different situation. Interesting case is United States versus Cortez Galavis. That was one of the cases I cited in my supplemental authorities. It's a recent case just from this year, 10th Circuit case. And that was the only case I found involving insurance charges. In that case, the office, in that case, I guess in Utah, they have a database where they keep individual insurance records on individual cars, and it's updated once every month. In that case, officer, he was tailing the defendant for some other reason, did a license check, the computer came up and said, insurance not found as of the last day of last month, and this was the 22nd of the present month, so that information was 22 days old in that case. In that case,
there was an ongoing database kept that apparently the officers have access to.
That's correct.
So that would be the equivalent here of the officer having either checked with dispatch or having a computer in his car where he could check on that. Yeah. And that's what we don't have here.
Yeah. And then the reason
in that case, too, the court said the defendant didn't raise the issue, so it waived. The defendant waived, right?
I can confirm or deny that one, that statement. It raises the interesting question, is it computer information is only as good as the input is, and even if the officer, I think in this case, had checked the defendant's driver's license status through dispatch, who knows, it might have been, who knows how current it might have been.
But then it wouldn't be based only on his assumption, at least it would be some other piece of information that he relied on.
Right, but in this case it was based on his personal information that he stopped him for no insurance. Well, stopped him for no insurance and no driver's license 2 weeks ago.
Anyway, assumption may have been the word that he used in his testimony, but I mean, effectively he was drawing an inference regarding the defendant's current status based upon his understanding of the defendant's status 22 days before.
In Galavis, yes.
No, or in the case before.
Or in our case, is based on 14 days before. In our case, it's two weeks. But yes, he was drawing an inference.
Stuck on the Sixth Circuit.
So I believe in the unique facts of this case, it was not unreasonable for Officer Takamiya to suspect that defendant continued to remain unlicensed, the defendant's vehicle continued to remain uninsured on March 1st, 2005, and that it was appropriate for him to stop defendant's vehicle to confirm or dispel it. That suspicion. Thank you.
First of all, this case is about reasonable suspicion, and Officer Takamiya's personal experience alone is insufficient reasonable suspicion. Opposing counsel, the prosecuting office of the prosecuting attorney, acknowledged that it is possible for someone to obtain a driver's license and no motor vehicle insurance within 10 days. With respect to effectively drawing an inference, if that's only based solely on the officer's previous experience with regards to citation, that is still insufficient, insufficient reasonable suspicion, insufficient grounds for reasonable suspicion, excuse me.
And what is that, Mr. Amadi? Counsel raised all these other cases where apparently the prior contact with the defendant was enough.
Well, in the cases that were raised by opposing counsel, those cases, the majority of those cases, in fact, I think all of them except two, dealt with driving while license suspended. And that's distinctly different than driving without valid driver's license. With driving while license suspended, there's a specific period in which your licensing or your privilege to drive has been suspended. That's different than driving without a valid license. There's not a specific period in which you're prohibited from not obtaining a driver's license. So
what about Justice Levinson's question about it being a permissible inference to draw that 2 weeks later the defendant, for purposes of reasonable suspicion, it could be inferred that the defendant was still driving without a license?
That may be permissible with driving while license suspended or revoked, but I would say that it still would be insufficient for driving without a valid license. Again, there's distinctions between the driving without a valid driver's license and driving while license suspended or revoked. Again, it gets back to the specific period for which the license is suspended. In some of these cases...
Well, what about driving without a valid license, drawing that inference?
It's still insufficient. It all goes back to State v. Kaleohana, and what this court ruled, that personal information, personal knowledge, standing alone is insufficient for reasonable suspicion.
What was the offense involved in that case?
That was the offense was the individual was suspected of driving while impaired. The officer observed the driver swerving and also crossing a solid line. So that was the reason for the initial stop. There was a traffic offense that was committed. Then upon asking for the driver's license and insurance, the requisite information, combined with the fact that the officer knew that Kaleohana previously had been arrested for drug charges, if you will, and his vehicle had previously been searched and drugs were discovered, combined with his red glassy eyes and the fact of his erratic driving, all that accumulated to the officer suspecting that Mr. Kaleohana could have been driving while impaired. But the initial stop, the reasonable suspicion for the initial stop, was based on the fact that a traffic moving violation had been committed. Now, with respect to Chief Justice Moon's concern with respect to the legal tent and the girlfriend with the no-fault insurance, I still contend that the no-fault insurance in this case is equivalent to the driving without license. In fact, that even if there was a week between the girlfriend being cited for no motor vehicle insurance, that still didn't rise to the level of reasonable suspicion for Officer Takamiya to effect that traffic stop on March 1st, 2005. The reason being, again, within a week's time, there's curative methods mechanisms that can be taken for a person to obtain a motor vehicle insurance. So,
what about Mr. Vincent's suggestion that even if the officer had contacted dispatch and had been advised that there was no record that this man had a driver's license, that could have been stale information also.
Yes, it could have been stale information.
So that even if it were part of this record, that the citing officer had checked with dispatch and had been advised that Spillner was unlicensed, that wouldn't generate reasonable suspicion either. Is that correct?
If the officer, if I understand the question, if the officer checked with dispatch and there was no information as to Mr. Spillner's...
The information was that it appeared that he was unlicensed because there was no record of his being licensed. But that could be stale.
Are you referring to during the second stop?
Right.
I think it would be... stale information in the sense that if you analogize it to the Cortez Galaviz case in which they had the insurance system in which you're either insured, not insured, or information not found, they defined that because they had the computer system as a particularized and objective standard, which is our Utah's equivalent to our specific and articulable facts. That information is not presented in the record before us.
Would that be sufficient to generate reasonable suspicion?
Not in the state of Hawaii, based on the State v. Kaleohana and the fact that our Constitution...
So literally nothing could generate reasonable suspicion.
Again, if there's with respect to driving without a valid license, if there was an ongoing traffic, or excuse me, a traffic offense committed in conjunction with it, then...
No, I mean reasonable suspicion that the criminal activity of driving while unlicensed was afoot could never arise.
I think it couldn't arise in the circumstances in which the information was not found on that particular driver. But if there's a situation where they call back the dispatch and the information was found, then yes.
But I thought we agreed that the information could be stale and therefore that would be insufficient to generate reasonable suspicion.
With respect to
the information provided by dispatch could be 3 weeks old.
And I think that would have to look at the specific facts of the case at the time of
there's
trial.
There's a difference between public record keeping pursuant to some statute or policy versus one officer's hunch with respect to one person, right?
That's correct, Your Honor.
So in the case where you have a system set up to update or keep records, public records, on who's licensed or not licensed, there would be, you assume, some kinds of safeguards to ensure that, as much as possible, that information would be accurate.
Yes.
So there are cases, then, where a computer system would, if sufficiently protected or safeguarded, might produce facts, if given to the police officer, that might rise to reasonable suspicion.
If we had such a system in place, similar to that of Utah's, possibly where it's used on an ongoing basis, it was designed with the specific protections in place. But again, we're comparing...
Mr. Vincent characterized that system. The information was current as of the last day of the previous month. And in the Utah case, the driver was stopped 3 weeks plus after the last day of the previous month. Here we have 14 days. So what about the reliability of that information?
Well, here we have 14 days, but we also don't have a computer check or a system that was taken based on the facts that's presented. Again, there are two...
The computer computer information in Utah was staler than this.
So the information, with respect to the information that was presented in this case, it would be stale, and two, it doesn't even, again, the information in and of itself doesn't arrive to level of reasonable suspicion. So whether or not it's stale or not is one consideration. It's just that whether or not that it even amounts to reasonable suspicion, it doesn't rise to that level.
The question really isn't in this specific case whether the information is stale or not. Right?
Correct, Your Honor.
The question is whether the information is sufficient to generate reasonable suspicion that a crime was being committed at the point where the stop was made.
Yes, Your Honor.
Let me ask you this question about the insurance again. Is it your understanding that it was no insurance card or just no insurance or what?
My understanding based on the record is that Mr. Spillner was cited for having no motor vehicle insurance. There's no specifics in the transcript as to whether or not he was cited because he didn't have insurance at all or he just didn't have the card on him. Again, it's similar to driving without license where if you're cited for not having motor vehicle insurance, you go to district court, you show them your insurance card, and they dismiss the case. And that's
so in this case, his girlfriend got stopped, and again, no insurance.
Yes.
She got stopped for tinted windows?
Yes, Your Honor.
Okay, so you've got two stops on this vehicle with no insurance. What would have happened if he saw the vehicle again? Would he be able to stop the vehicle with reasonable suspicion?
It doesn't amount. No, Your Honor, still doesn't amount to reasonable suspicion. Again, based on his knowledge alone, there is a curative mechanism in place between the one-week time frame and the time that the officer Takamiya stopped Mr. Spillner the second time. So
if there were a half a dozen traffic violations, and every time he got stopped, that vehicle got stopped, there was no insurance, the 15th time, if he saw it and there was no violation, he couldn't stop it.
No reasonable suspicion, Your Honor.
Thank you,
Your Honor. We ask that you reverse the Intermediate Court of Appeals decision in this case. Thank you.
Take this matter under advisement.